I want to read a verse of scripture before I read my text after the prayer. But in the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14, Isaiah, the prophet of God, prophesied hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, said, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Would you pray with me? Father God, as we pause today and look at the Christmas biology of what Scripture has to say about the doctrine of the virgin birth, God, how vital it is, how very important it is that we truly, truly understand the virgin birth, because it is central, as is the resurrection, to Christianity. And Father, today as we celebrate this time of the year with the Christmas bells that ring and the Christmas songs that are sung, Father, we see all the sights and the sounds of Christmas. We realize that Christmas in the heart of a child of God should be every single day of the year. God, I pray that you would remind us this morning as we look at Christmas biology from Matthew chapter 1. Father, the huge importance of this in an ever skeptical world and a very cynical world that we live in this morning. I pray, oh God, that you would help us as we listen to the words that you would have us hear today. God, that we realize the importance of who Christ is, why he came, how he had to be conceived of the Holy Spirit, that he had this earthly mother who would be the vehicle through which he would come into this world, and yet his father would be a heavenly father, not the earthly Joseph. Father, I pray that you would help us today to count our blessings at Christmas time and every day of the year for the wonderful virgin birth of the Christ of Christmas. In Christ's name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. As we look at our text for this morning, reading from the New International Translation of the Bible, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and following, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah, this is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. I don't know about you, but there are many things in life that we tire of. I'm sure this morning when you think about all of the festivities of the Christmas season and all of the hustle and bustle of running here and there and doing all the menial tasks that come along with this time of the year, there are lots of things in life I think that you and I could give a litany of things that we tire of. But Christmas is something that I love. And you and I should never tire of Christmas. When I hear the Christmas songs and I see it's a time of giving, it's a time of sharing. I see the twinkle of the lights and I hear the sounds of the Christmas bells. And I'm reminded that the Christmas season is something I never tire of. This morning, that's why I want to speak to you about what makes Christmas Christmas, and that is the virgin birth of Jesus. Young people, this morning, you're growing up in a world today where there are a lot of cynics, there are a lot of scoffers, there are people who would want to challenge what you have grown up in church and have been taught to believe. There will be people out there in your world, in your pathway, that will try to challenge you on the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to know that the virgin birth is found in both the Gospel of Matthew as well as the Gospel of Luke. And it's especially fascinating to know that Luke speaks about it because, young people, Luke, who wrote the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, Luke was a doctor. And both accounts in Luke and Matthew are very clear and unequivocal, that leave no doubt whatsoever that the birth of Jesus was not an ordinary birth. Jesus was not an ordinary baby, and his conception did not come about in an ordinary way. And I want to say unequivocally that his mother Mary was a virgin, and she had had no sexual relations whatsoever before the conception of Jesus and his birth. In fact, Joseph would not consummate this marriage until after the birth of the Lord Jesus. His narrative in Luke and Matthew are very plain. Jesus has an earthly mother that we call Mary, but he has a heavenly father. Every year, Christians all over the world will gather. They will celebrate this time of the year, the birth of the Lord Jesus, not just because he was born, but we celebrate how he was born. As you might imagine, the virgin birth, young people, remains the second most controversial miracle in all of history, following the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you would expect, it's been under attack by the scientists of this world, by physicians and people who simply say common sense says this could not be a virgin birth. There's always been the desire to cut Jesus down to size, to make him fit what we think his mold should be. These attacks come from various corners, sometimes from people you wouldn't expect. A former famous minister of a large mega church some 10 years ago, Rob Bell, said it wouldn't be a big deal if it were discovered that Jesus had an earthly father named Larry. There are those out there, unfortunately, in the world, even in churches, who do not believe in the virgin birth. Thomas Jefferson was writing a letter to John Adams, and he wrote this. Thomas Jefferson said to Adams, "The day will come when the mystical generation of Jesus, by the supreme being as his father, in the womb of a virgin, will be classed with the fable of the generation of Minerva in the brain of Jupiter." Isn't it interesting that Thomas Jefferson said that many, many years ago? When Larry King was interviewing people on his show on television, and he was asked once If you could interview anybody in all of life that's ever existed in the world, who would it be? And Larry King said, I would love to interview Jesus Christ. When he was pressed for that reason why, he said, I would like to ask him if he was indeed virgin born, because that answer would define history for me. This morning, I believe the answer to the question in history is defining. I believe there's a clear-cut answer to that question. I believe the virgin birth is an underlying assumption in everything you and I read and know about Jesus. I believe the virgin birth is essential to Christianity. And if you understand Christmas biology, and we will see why this morning, it's not without significance that here in Matthew's gospel, in the very first chapter, Matthew establishes right away that Jesus was both human, young people, as well as divine. Matthew's going to tell us three things that are true about this baby that was born in a stable in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago. If you're taking notes from your bulletin, point number one is this: we believe Jesus was conceived by the Spirit of God. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Matthew described it in a very unusual way. In fact, in verse 18, he says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Now, what's unusual is this. Matthew takes 17 verses there to talk about Jesus's ancestry, his genealogy, and then he basically introduces the birth of Jesus in one verse. He unequivocally states that Jesus was not conceived by an earthly father, namely Joseph, but that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. There's an even deeper problem, biologically speaking. It's certainly not unusual for a woman to conceive and give birth, but Matthew and Luke spare no detail when sharing that we understand that Mary was a virgin. I just quoted from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born, hundreds of years before Matthew and Luke ever recorded what they recorded, and the prophet Isaiah lets us know that she is going to be a virgin. But notice what Matthew says in chapter 1, verse 16. It says, "And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, and Mary was the mother of Jesus, who was called the Messiah." If you notice, in that genealogy, in Matthew chapter 1, Jesus has every one of those in his lineage has a father except Jesus. It says Jacob was the father of Joseph, but it doesn't say that Joseph was the father of Jesus. Now, in Jewish tradition, genealogy is passed through the father and not the mother. But Matthew makes it very clear. Jesus did not have a human father. It was that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and Mary was a virgin. A doctor by the name of Luke here records Mary's response when she found out through an angel that she's pregnant with child. And notice how Mary says to the angel in Luke chapter 1, verse 34, Mary says, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "Since I am a virgin." Remember Isaiah in the Old Testament, God's prophet said, and this will be a sign that a virgin will conceive. Now notice what Luke says, that she responds to the angel. How will this be since I am a virgin? And notice how the angel answers Mary back. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. God's omnipotence, God's power. So the Holy One, that's Jesus, to be born will be called the Son of God. There was one thing Mary knew for sure. There was no human father. Joseph didn't know what Mary knew, but he did know one thing. He was not the daddy. Matthew chapter 1 verse 19 says, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Young people, let me tell you, in that day and time, if you committed adultery, the punishment by law was you would be stoned to death. Now, Mary and Joseph were engaged. They weren't married yet. And they had not had sexual relations from that moment that Joseph saw Mary, and now she's pregnant with child. He could only wonder, who could the father of her child be? He knew the penalty. He knew the law. He knew it was stoning by death. So he was just going, because he loved her, he was going to privately check out of their relationship. There was one assumption he made, and that is this: she's pregnant, then how on earth can she be a virgin? But the answer was, Mary was both pregnant and she was a virgin. Now, scientifically, biologically, physiologically speaking, it would be an impossibility. Scientists have hypothesized that perhaps this was a situation of what is known as parthenogenesis. It's a natural form of asexual reproduction, where there is the growth and the development of an embryo, but without fertilization. However, that's never occurred in a mammal of any kind, and there are so many issues and difficulties with that hypothesis that Warren Booth, the leading expert in parthenogenesis at the University of Tulsa, he said this. He said, I've been asked about the virgin birth many times, and honestly, I can come up with no feasible explanation as to how a female that's abstained from sexual intercourse could give a birth to a child of either sex. You see, young people, the question is not how Jesus was born. He was born the same way that all babies were born. But the question is, how was he conceived? Who conceived him? The clear answer from the Bible, and the reason we celebrate Christmas and what makes the birth of Christ so unique, is he's conceived by the Holy Spirit through a virgin girl by the name of Mary. Now, I understand in the 21st century, kids, eyes roll, heads dangle back and forth, mouths open in laughter. Let me tell you, understand this. If you have difficulty in believing the virgin birth, you really have difficulty believing in God. When Mary raised the objection to the angel, and he simply replied in Luke 1:37, for nothing is impossible with God. for nothing is impossible. Young people, let me tell you, if God can create the stellar heavens that are filled with multi-millions and billions and trillions of stars and galaxies that the Hubble telescope nor the James Webb telescope nor any scientist alive or dead will ever be able to plumb what God has created out there. The Bible says God takes the simple things in life to confound those that are wise. Why do you think God chose to come as a baby? A simple thing to confound all of the wisdom of the educated of this world. He takes the simple things to confound, that means to confuse, those who are wise. For nothing is impossible with God. Let me tell you, the Bible says if you have enough faith, the size of a grain of mustard seed, which is so minuscule that you could hardly see it, and says to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, speaking about whatever your problem is, however big it is, however large it is. Let me tell you, my faith allows me to believe unequivocally that God can do whatever God chooses to do because He made it all. He created it all. And God, it would be nothing for the Holy Spirit to come over Mary and to make her conceive to have the Christ child. Let me tell you, we believe Jesus was conceived not by an earthly father, but by the Holy Spirit. Secondly, this morning, we believe Jesus came as the Son of God. Jesus came as the Son of God. Now, the facts are these so far. Joseph's engaged to Mary, with whom he's had no sexual contact. She's had no sexual contact with any other man. And let me tell you, Mary was a virgin, but Joseph also was. And notice in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 to 23 and verse 25, but after Joseph had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared. Young people, did you realize that God created angels? There are multiplied millions of angels. Who are these creatures God created? Well, the Bible says He created those to be ministering spirits to those who will inherit salvation. He created them for His purposes in this world and in the days of the tribulation to come. He uses them for His elect purposes of this world. Now, when Satan chose, and he obviously was given a free will to choose, Satan chose to rebel against God because he wanted to be God himself. And so a third of those angels chose to go with Satan. And they are these demonic spirits that influence governments and nations and people and families and all of the scenes that are out there in the world that are against the precepts and the commands of God. Notice verse number 20, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Who was he? Isaiah, We just mentioned him a few moments ago, verse number 23. What would the prophet say? The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us, verse 25. But he had no union, that means no sexual relations. This translation up here says, but he, Joseph, did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. He gave him the name Jesus. So Mary and Joseph both knew they were going to become the parents of a son, but the question remains, whose son is he? And to leave no doubt, look what Luke said in Luke 1:35. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Young people, that's important to understand. Jesus is not the Son of God because he was a descendant of David, though he was. He's not the Son of God because he died for our sins, though he did. He was not the Son of God because he was morally sinless and pure like God, and though he was, all of those things are true about Jesus because he was the Son of God. Adrian Rogers, who pastored Bellevue, Memphis for many, many years, great preacher, told a story once that how he was having a conversation with Muhammad Ali. And they gathered together late one night before one of the fights, and they were talking about Jesus, and Muhammad Ali had been raised in a Christian home, but he decided he wanted to study the Islamic faith. And as Adrian Rogers and Muhammad Ali talked back and forth, Muhammad Ali looked at Adrian Rogers and said, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the unique Son of God, just because he was born of a virgin? Adam didn't have a father or a mother. Would that make Adam more a son of God than Jesus? Adrian Rogers, if you knew Adrian Rogers, he gave a classic answer. He looked at Muhammad Ali and he said, champ, you need to understand something. Jesus was not the Son of God because he was born of a virgin. He was born of a virgin because he was the Son of God. You see, the glory of Christmas is the story of Christmas, which is that Jesus was both the son of a human mother and the son of a heavenly father. If Jesus had not been born of a human, we couldn't believe that he was fully human. But if he was born only of a human, through the union of a human earthly father and mother, then he wouldn't be fully divine. Put it like this, suppose the parents of Jesus had both been divine, God plus God, then he would have just been God, fully God, but no humanity. If he is not human, he can't help me. He can't die for my sins because God can't die. On the other hand, suppose his parents had been fully human. But if that had been the case, he would have been born just like you and I, with a sinful nature. That's the reason the virgin birth is so important to the story of Jesus in his sinless life, in his human life. He was totally sinless. His death on the cross and his resurrection. Let me tell you, Jesus came as he did from a virgin to be what he was, sinless. He was what he was, sinless, so that he could come and die for our sins. He died for our sins so that he could atone for our sins. He did what he did because he was, is the Son of God, so that we could become children of God. Let me tell you, he was born of a virgin, the Son of God, that you and I might be born again as children of God. Young people, the virgin birth is absolutely paramount to the Christ of Christmas. Third and lastly, we believe Jesus covered our sins with God. Notice verse 21 of Matthew 1. She will give birth to a son. You're to give him the name Jesus. Why, young people? Because he will save his people from their sins. Let me tell you, the name Jesus was a common, ordinary name in those days. Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew Yeshua, which is the Hebrew form of the English name Joshua. It literally means God saves. That one thing tells us about Jesus. He came to live among us, to die on a rugged cross, to shed his blood to cover our sins. Let me tell you, as Mona Linville sings and Sharon Ruth sings, there is a Savior who lights our way. Let me tell you, no one could take away our sins but Jesus, born of a virgin, both fully human, fully divine, yet without sin. Christ took our sin and he nailed it to the cross. Let me tell you, there was a skeptic who denied the virgin birth and was talking to one of Jesus's disciples, one of his followers. He said, if I told you, the follower of Jesus was saying, if I told you to the skeptic, a child was conceived without a human father and born of a virgin mother, would you really believe me? Let me tell you, the follower of Jesus said, absolutely. You see, the skeptic said, would you really believe me if I told you that Jesus was born of a virgin? And the person that knew Jesus replied, absolutely, if he lived as Jesus lived. And let me tell you this morning, there is no one else, never has been, never will be anyone like him. The virgin birth, Christmas biology next Sunday morning, Christmas theology next Sunday evening at the Christmas Eve 5 o'clock service, Christmas doxology. That's what I'll be speaking on. God bless you for being here today. Kids, don't ever, ever, ever let someone swing the pendulum to tell you that Jesus was not virgin born, because it means everything to the Christ of Christmas that we know and that we sing about. The virgin birth, the resurrection of Christ. You take those two things away and Christianity falls dead. The virgin birth, the resurrection are pillars of the Christian faith. Would you stand as we pray together this morning?